the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
This is the podcast for broadcast. Sound off podcast. With Matt Kendall.
This week I speak with Leanne Lang. After 20 plus years working on TV in Ottawa, covering sports and being on morning television, Leanne has pivoted. From varsity athlete at UMass to becoming an Olympic hopeful in gymnastics, to our television sets in the National Capital Region, Leanne has been a part of the fabric of Ottawa. Now, I've mentioned on this podcast before that when change happens in Ottawa, well, the shit hits the fan. There's a proverbial outcry and outrage when their favorite personalities go. Leanne was in the process of leaving on her own terms at CTV when it was mishandled by the locals. We'll talk about that shortly. Leanne is an athlete, entrepreneur, parent, and people trust her. She's well-connected and sits on the board of some good causes in Ottawa and has just finished year one of her podcast, which is also on YouTube as well. She joins me from Ottawa.
You know, when I used to talk to journalism or broadcasting students, I would always apologize prior to telling them this story because it's definitely not the typical way people end up in broadcasting or in, you know, media. So I was a gymnast. I was an elite gymnast. I competed for Canada. I was on scholarship in the States. I went to the University of Massachusetts. I was really big into sports marketing. I thought I was going to be like a sports psychologist, and then I wasn't really into the psychology classes, and then I started onto the business route, and then loved the sports marketing, the sponsorship, the promotion, the marketing of sports. So I ended up leaving UMass with two business degrees with the focus on sports management and sports marketing. My mom has a massive gymnastics facility back here in Ottawa. And I had just graduated from school. I had just moved back home. And she had her 25th anniversary of the gym club back in the day. So it was a big event. So I said I would write some press releases. I would send some stuff out to the media so that we could get some coverage for the event. And I had to just, as a side note, I had just accepted a job with Labatt's doing their sport, like doing their volleyball tour. So after all this big stuff was done, I was actually going to be moving to Toronto. So I'm at this event for my mom. It's Ken of Rare, who was working for CHRO at the time, came in and said, listen, I got this press release. Who sent it? Can they give me the information? So I said, sure, no problem. So he put me on camera and I kind of gave the rundown of what the event was all about. And after the interview, he put the camera down and he gave me his boss's card. And he said, our station is looking for a young female, university educated, former elite athlete to be our new sports anchor. And I was on television 5 days later. That is my story. It is also a story of sink or swim and getting thrown in with the sharks and learning how to survive.
So how old were you when you first appeared on CHRO, which is, by the way, the weird TV station in Ottawa?
Yeah, so there was CTV, there was CJOH and CHRO, and CHRO was owned at the time by Chan. Like, it was Moses Neimer back in the day when you were doing your videos and you were talking into the back of your mirror. Like, I mean, it was back in those videographer days. So yeah, went from CHRO to the new RO to A Channel to A Morning to CTV Morning Live. So those were all the kind of the changes of the names. I was 22. I was about to be 23 years old.
Working at a station that had Moses Neimer as owner, did you ever think you'd wind up maybe being a Much Music VJ?
No, I had no interest in going that route. I loved sport. You know, when I talked to my boss as the years went on, because I was there for 20 years, the selling point was, I mean, I'd been an athlete my whole life and I had been around athletes my whole life. And so they were my friends. They weren't people that I was intimidated by. I mean, my housemates at university were baseball players, hockey players, lacrosse. Like, I mean, it was the varsity community is very tight. And so I was comfortable. I lived with guys that were going to be going to play in the NHL or that were, you know, that were being drafted into Major League Baseball. So these were my peers and I wasn't intimidated by them. So I think that they felt too, with a young female heading into a male oriented profession back still in the time and back into a locker room and a dressing room with young players, I think that they were looking for someone that wasn't going to be enamored or in awe of the situation that I was in. And I think that was a very easy transition for me.
So here you are, young reporter, and no fear going into the locker room.
No. No, I don't, because like I said, like these were guys that would have been my friends. These were my housemates. They were very similar. They were the same people that I've been around the whole time. And I knew the questions that made sense. I knew the background of sport and I knew injury. I knew what it was like to play injured or to play with broken bones. So I think I had a different outlook of just kind of saying, well, why aren't you on the ice tonight? Right. It's kind of like, how is the rehab going? Like, what's going on? So there was a different angle that I could go with in those stories. And because I was still so young and still so like would do absolutely anything for the job, I threw myself into every single sport. Like, it wasn't just the Senators that I was covering. It was, you know, we had the Ottawa Lynx and we had at the time we had a professional lacrosse team and there was some football for a while and then the football left for a couple of years. And I did absolutely every single amateur sport there was to cover in the city. Like, I tried and did everything. Like, I had a really great pulse on all of the athletes that were kind of coming through the systems and the sports that were happening in the city.
When did you shift your broadcast career out of sports?
So I stayed on doing sports for 10 years. In that time, I got married and had had a daughter. And then I had my second daughter. And while I was on a very shortened maternity leave, because I only took 6 months with both the girls, when I was on my second maternity leave, I was called to say that I would no longer be going back to sports and that I was going to be, they were making a move to the morning show. And I kicked and screamed and yelled and didn't respond to it probably in the best way. I didn't think that there was life for me beyond sports and covering sports and that being my comfort zone. Plus, by then, I had had such great relationships with the players and the teams that, you know, I had their cell phone numbers of their wives that if I needed something, I could call them, you know. So I felt like I was like, how could you take me out of this environment? And at the time, they needed me to come in also to do the weather on the morning show. And so I had a slight meltdown of that, kind of going, you're taking me from sports to become the weather girl. And I was told to just make the best of it, create something that was going to be uniquely mine, which ended up being Today's the Day, which is my health and wellness segment, and to kind of take some time to adjust to this. Now, you got to keep in mind, I was a night owl. Like, when I met my husband, he called me a vampire. Like, I liked, like, my whole life revolved around nighttime, like my training, and then I would come home from practice and then I would do homework and then I'd go to bed at like midnight. So I said to them, like, I have never seen the morning show. Like, I'm never up early enough to see a morning show. Like, who gets up in the morning to watch a morning television? So I was not fully on board at the time making the shift.
Remind me who the evil people were who did this to you. Was that CHRO or is that CTV?
I stayed on the CTV2 side the entire time I was there. I mean, they ended up having a fire a number of years ago. And so our buildings amalgamated. They ended up moving into the media mall that we had downtown. So their studios ended up moving into our studios as well. So we were sharing space. But the entire time that I was there, like the CHRO to the new RO to A channel was all sports. And then we became A Morning. And then we were purchased by Bell. And then we became CTV Morning Live.
You go from night owl to getting up early in the morning. How did that go?
It was HELL, and I felt hungover for probably the first 6 to 9 months. And I felt like I had vertigo for the first year. My body had a really difficult time adjusting. I'm very active. I'm very fit. There was weight gain. There was trying to figure out sleep patterns and eating patterns. And I still had at that point, like I had a 7-month old, you know, like, so I was still coming off of breastfeeding and then getting up and then doing this. So it was a big adjustment. I'm incredibly grateful because my husband works out of the house. He's an artist. So his studio is out of our home. And so I think that made a massive difference, that the responsibility, and I give him full credit, like those first couple of years of him having to deal with two kids, a three-year-old and a baby, I give him full credit because I wasn't there in the mornings to deal with it. I was there from the afternoon on, but I wasn't there in the mornings to deal with that.
So what adjustments did you make to maintain sound body and mind?
Eating healthy, exercising was a massive part in stabilizing. I learned to function on a lot less sleep. I was never one to go to sleep at 8 in the morning, even though I was getting up at like 3:30, 4, just because it just did not coincide with my sleep pattern. Like I just couldn't get myself to go to bed that early. And so I was usually more like around a 9 o'clock. By the time I left the station a year ago, I was more around 10:15. Both my kids are in competitive sports, so we wouldn't be getting home from training until 8, you know, and then it was dinner and then bath and then or shower and then homework. So it was more like I was getting to bed at around 10:15 and then getting up at 3:40. And I did that schedule for quite a while.
Let's roll it back to November of 2017. Headline in the newspaper says you've been restructured and let go. And following days, it says you left on your own accord. So which was it?
Well, I think there was a major retraction and a major apology. And I think my boss had to do a major town hall in that building because it had been months in the making of me leaving. So, you know, and I should say, like, my days went from 3:40 a.m. until 10:15. There was no naps. There was no coming home and having the afternoon. And I give credit for those that can do it. And I think it's a much better survival mode that people can come home from doing a morning show and have a nap and do things before other things. But our show was a 4-hour show. And then we didn't have our post-show meetings until around 11:15. So we didn't get off air until 10. We were on air at 5 a.m. Taping things for the airport. So we were on set by 5, and then the show went from 6 until 10. Our post-show meetings were at around 11:15. And then I usually had other promotional stuff to do. I was usually the one that had some of the extra shoots. I sat on charity boards and I worked out. So my kids would get home at 3, and then it was off to training and practices and stuff. And then, as I mentioned, get home at 10:15. So what ended up happening is I think the burnout kind of started to hit. There was a massive shift over the last couple of years of what our show was doing and how it looked. And the show had changed drastically, and it changed for me over the years, that it just wasn't as fun. It wasn't the same kind of fun morning feel that I was accustomed to. There had been a number of changes. And so I think I had started to check out mentally and started to kind of, as I was sitting on set and doing my thing, kind of starting to think about other things that I wanted to do. And then not last year, the June, because I keep forgetting I've been gone a year. But that June, I ended up with a really serious case of the shingles. And I was 42 years old in excruciating pain. It was the first time I had missed more than 2 days of work in a row in the 20 years. And I was kind of lying there saying, my mind has already checked out, and now I think my body is responding. I think my body is telling me that it's done its time. It's been 20 years at the station, 10 of which have been on this morning show. It's not the same show as it was for me, that maybe this is my time to go. And I have the energy, and I think I had the brand awareness to be able to say, my brand's at a good point, that this would be the best time for me to go rather than wait until they tell me that it's time to go. And so that's when I started the discussions with my boss to say, I think that I'm ready to leave. It was not immediate, and it was not a sure, you know, hey, sure, no problem. It was, I need you to take serious consideration. Please take another month and go back on set and kind of really, really think about what it is that you're asking me to do. And I took that month, and the more I sat there, the more I realized that if I didn't take this leap of faith, I would be upset and call myself a chicken shit, and that this was the time to be able to do it. So that was when the discussion started. And by around the Thanksgiving time, I kind of made that decision and kind of passed on that I was ready to go. And then we made my departure dates right around the November time. Now, granted, there was a way for me to be able to figure out how to do it. And so my name, or not my name, actually, my position was listed in the list of the layoffs. So that is how I ended up in the circus of the restructuring, and that I was let go. Which was disappointing because a lot of it was me based on the taking the leap of faith and that it had happened months earlier and that we had been in discussions for months and that there had been an insider comment made to the station that had it not been for me leaving, somebody else would have been on the chopping block. So essentially, I saved somebody's job is what the town hall was pretty much about.
I should be queuing up circus music here.
It was an unfortunate circumstance, and the Globe and Mail and the CP, you know, can do their retractions, but it definitely hurt my branding as I was trying to kind of leave on this new thought process of living your best life and being authentic, and so that's what happened.
Do you think corporate environments like that are unhealthy?
I think they can become incredibly toxic. I think there are amazing, good people working incredibly hard to put good product out. I think, unfortunately, when you're caught up in the big machine, it just doesn't always feel that way.
Okay, so that's not the start Leanne wanted when she was launching her company, to have media reporting that she'd been restructured when in actual fact she was leaving on her own accord. But the first year's been good to Leanne. She'll tell you some of her secrets to a successful year one and what's on the horizon for year two.
25 catalogs, over 2,000 albums, 61,000 songs, 197,000 tracks. Megatrax has everything you need to create the perfect sounds for your station, podcast, or digital program. Our flagship catalog, Megatrax, has hundreds of albums covering a huge array of genres and styles. Deep East Music and No Sheet Music deliver international sounds straight out of London. Sensacion brings an authentic Latin flair to every album and is recorded live by local musicians. Megatrax also has a huge collection of FFX, sound design, and narration mixes to give you full creative freedom to make any type of production imaginable. Head on over to Megatrax.com or call us at 818-255-7100 for your music licensing requests. That's Megatrax.com.
The Sound Off podcast is powered by Core Image Studio, your brand sound. Get it in the now. CoreImageStudio.com.
Late 2017, you leave CTV, jump into 2018, and you've got a brand new business and you take your leap of faith.
Well, I start this business kind of not really figuring out exactly where I'm going with it. You know, I've got 20 years of background of storytelling, which I love. And I love telling people stories. And I think everyone, you know, has a story that is going to inspire somebody else to make a change or to do something. So that was a big part of it. But I did have a big background in health and wellness. And a lot of people, I think, expected that I was going to go that route and become like a life coach or a personal trainer and that kind of thing. And I had to really think it through to say, I love health and fitness and wellness and nutrition and trainers, but I like getting the information out of them. I don't essentially myself want to be a trainer or a nutritionist. So when I was building my website, I built out a health and wellness section that was based on trainers and nutritionists in an interview format, giving material the same as I would have done on the morning show, but had it done for my website. So I have a health and wellness section. I had the brand ambassador section, which I think a lot of people are seeing from Instagram and, you know, social media, that there's a way of being able to promote things in that area. Although I realized within the first couple months that really wasn't where my passion was. My passion really was in the other pillar, which was the podcast. And that was the one thing I definitely knew that I was going to do when I was leaving and that I was desperate to do is to be able to have an outlet. So the podcast is called Living Your Life with Leanne Lang. And essentially right off the bat, I knew that I wanted it to have all of my favorite guests from CTV Morning Live, like all the people that I had interviewed. But you typically only get 4 to 5 minutes when you're doing a morning show segment. And I knew that these people had some spectacular, amazing stories. And I knew that they had so much more information to give than what they could give in a very short segment. And so I pretty much called so many of these experts and started to book them in for hour-long kind of interviews. And I loved it. Like, I loved being able to do it. I loved the reaction from people. I liked that people were listening. I liked that people were calling, trying to get on my podcast very early on. And so it became something that was my favorite thing to do. And Tuesdays are the days that I tape my podcast. And Tuesdays are still my favorite days of the week because they're the days that I feel like I'm most like me.
You're doing some long form audio in the form of a podcast, but also It's in YouTube form on video. What have you learned in your first year?
Well, I think it was always in me, especially when I would do like these really great profiles for the news, for the 6 o'clock news. And I would have like so much content and it would kill me every time. I was like editing out good clips and I was editing out like, you know, like these sentences or like these comments that really made the person shine or come out or understand them more. And so I knew that I had the ability to do the long form interviews because I'd loved doing it. And it was just nice to know that I didn't have to edit. I didn't have to cut. I didn't have to say, oh, we can't go into that story because we won't have time. You know, if we go off track in the podcast because there's a story, like I love it. And I'm capable of bringing it back to where we got off track. Like I can remember where we were, how we went off track, and then bring it back and then get right back on track. So I found it actually to be a very easy transition. Although now I'm finding that at the hour mark, I feel like I could go even longer and I'm getting the raps from my producer going, okay, you got to wrap it up.
When you think about people who are listening to your podcast, what are you imagining?
If people are looking to connect, I want them to connect mostly with the guests and stuff that are on the podcast. I want people to feel like if they go through that list, and I think I've got like 46 of them now because I'm almost a year in, that they're going to be able to find something in that list that's going to speak to them, from a nutritionist or a trainer or a doctor or someone who's climbed this, you know, the seven summits of the world, or a restaurateur or an entrepreneur that's starting this business. I find that all of the stories, they have their challenges, they have their roadblocks, they have their breakthrough moments, they have their hitting rock bottom. And I think that there's an appeal for so many people to just hear these stories from other people. Either it's something that they're interested in and they're going to get information from, or it's something that's going to inspire them to make a change. So if I want people to connect knowing that there's going to be information on my platforms that they can use on a daily basis, they can either use the platform of going onto the website and going to the health and wellness section and going to the kitchen tips and going to the trainer tips, or to go to the podcast and find something that they're able to do. And if they want and they've got a business or they're looking for someone to come out and speak or someone to be able to come and host their events, that's still a very comfortable thing for me to do because I've done, you know, thousands of them over the years. So those things are all there on the website or on Twitter or on Instagram or on any place that you can find me.
So for anybody who's in their 30s and moving through their 40s or almost at the end of their 40s like I am, what tips do you have about being an athlete through your 40s and into your 50s?
I would say any mobility, any movement for any individual at any age is critical. Maybe just because I've come off of my podcast with the head of the Heart Institute and the head of the Pre-Air Memory Program for Alzheimer's and dementia, and both of them put so much emphasis on movement and exercise. So it doesn't matter if you're 30 going into 40 or 40 going into 50. The mere fact of movement, of getting out and doing something, even if it's to go for a walk, even if it's to just kind of stretch and do some yoga, it is so critical. So for me, I'm still trying to be in the best shape of my life. I fight it every year. I'm going, this year I'm going to be in like the best shape ever and I'm going to kill it. And I'm finding it a little bit harder each and every year because there's like that extra little layer of fat kind of, you know, that's able to kind of pound in there. But I think we're always trying to look for our best selves. And I don't think that there should be a difference of your mindset as you're kind of aging. So it hasn't changed for me. And I'm hoping for those that are heading into the 40s, it gets harder to see the dream results, but it's in the long run extending your life. I think it's more about lifestyle now than it is about looking good in a bikini.
I'll assume when you mentioned extra layer of fat, it's where everybody has it, right? Midsection?
It is, but then you get caught up in the whole social media and you see, you know, everyone else putting their best foot forward and it's like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. So you kind of get caught up in that hell of comparison, which is the devil.
Speaking of the devil, how is your social media and how much fun are you having on that?
I find social media it's a beast. It's a beast that sometimes you feel like you've tamed, and it's a beast that sometimes you feel is just like attacking you from every single direction. And you can get so caught up in the numbers and who's following and who's unfollowing and what they're looking for and what content works and what content doesn't. Sometimes I think you just kind of have to stop looking at that. And I think that's my main mission for 2019, is to not get caught up in it and just be able to put out good, authentic, real content. And if you like your content and if you believe in it, then enjoy the process, and the people who want to take it will take it, and the people who don't will skip over it. But I did learn early that I didn't want to put out content that wasn't authentically me. And so that was a big decision, to not be on there kind of promoting things and doing things that I just wasn't fully on board. So I've lost a number of people. I can't, you know, like, I'm in the slow growth of everyone else. You know, I'm not buying followers and I'm not doing that kind of stuff. I'm just slowly watching the audience climb. And I would much rather see the audience climb on the podcast than I would on social media, because social media is going to come and go, but those podcasts are going to be there for people to listen to, you know, for a long time.
So what have you learned from podcast in the first year that you didn't know about when you were doing TV? Because it's completely different.
I guess with television, you're tuning in, like, you tune in that day and you see what we're doing and you see who's the guest on, and then you move on. And I think what I enjoy about the podcast is that people can go and listen to it when they're ready to listen to it, when they want that subject matter. You know, I'm so used to everything having to be like by deadlines, like, well, the show starts at 6 and it's done by 10. And if you didn't get your message across, then they're going to miss it. Whereas now with the podcast, I'm accepting the fact that the material is now out there and they're going to choose to listen to it on their time when they want. And so it's nice to be able to see that people, like, when I look at what's happening with the podcast, I know that people are listening to every single segment on any given day of every different topic. So it's nice to know that on any given day, something is being listened to by someone. And that's been interesting to see. Whereas if you missed a show, you missed a show.
Why do people trust you to the level that they do? You have people come on your show who say some of the most remarkable things. And I'm like, do they know that the mics are on and they're doing a podcast right now?
I think especially here in the Ottawa market, I have grown up on television. As I mentioned, I was 22 when I started. So in that time, I lost my dad to a heart attack 2 weeks before my wedding. And you know, the public knew. And I gained 55 pounds with each of my pregnancies live on television. Like, there was no hiding anything. I have been open and honest in everything, you know, on air, like on TV. Like, I could make fun of myself. I could open up. I could shed tears. I think I was very authentic. And I'll be honest, if it wasn't funny, I didn't laugh. Like, I was not a fake person on TV. If I didn't like what the chef was making, I could honestly say, okay, this isn't for me, but this, for anyone who loves this kind of dish, they're going to love it. I was very truthful. And I think the one question I would ask every single guest when they came in was, what can I do for you in these 4 minutes that's going to help you get your message across? And what's going to help you feel like this was a successful interview? Like, are you selling a product? Are you selling an idea? Are you selling an event? Like, what? How can I help you? Because you've earned this 4 minutes on TV. Let me help you make the best of it. And I got from a lot of people that they felt so much more at ease knowing that I was there to help them. I wasn't doing hard news, right? I wasn't trying to kind of ask the mayor where the money went. I wanted people in our city to feel excited about what was happening here, and that the businesses were thriving, and there were people that were creating these products. And so I think over that time, people trusted that I was out looking out for them also. And I think that's why so many guests are willing to come on and want to come on the podcast, because they know I'm going to try to get the best story out of them and show their best selves. Like, the mere fact that Pierre Dorion, who's the Senator's general manager, switched his travel plans on a game day to come and do the podcast with me after the 6 months of hell that he's been through, it shows that I think he knew I was going to show a different side to him, and he was looking for something like that. And I think that's why I've been able to get the guests that I have, and I think that that's why people open up to me, because I'm trying to get their best selves, because I want people to see it and be able to live vicariously through what that person did as a change, or how that person shifted and incorporated it into their own lives.
If you hadn't been discovered that day way back when and put into sports broadcasting, what would you be doing?
I think I would have stayed in sports marketing. I think my goal, I didn't make the Olympics as an athlete. I think I would have tried to get there as in some other capacity with businesses or with sponsorship, or I could tear up at a Nike commercial or like an Under Armour, like, you know, when they're like hardcore athletes and like, I love that stuff. So I think I probably would have continued on that path in the world of sports marketing. I do think I probably would have stayed there, but I was lucky that I got to kind of see it in a different way.
As we move into 2019, are there any goals you have in mind, athletic or non-athletic?
I think I'm looking for some. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I climbed Kilimanjaro because I was looking for, I needed something. I'm in constant search of a challenge, like of something that's going to get me going and get me excited about things. So Kilimanjaro was something that I did a couple of years ago. Then I took up like boxing, but I never actually wanted to like box with someone. I just wanted to have someone train me how to box. So I am now looking ahead to my next adventure. I haven't quite figured out what that is. I think this building a business has been one adventure that has taken me on an incredible roller coaster. But physically, I haven't quite figured out what my next challenge is. There was someone that mentioned in Vermont, there's like an Everest, like you climb the mountain as much as you would if you were getting to the top of Everest. And I think you've got like 2 days to do it. And that's on my list, except at that time that it's happening this year is when I'm hosting my wellness cruise along the Danube, October 20th. I'm in Europe hosting the Leanne and Friends Awaken a Better You wellness cruise. So when I left television, Expedia Cruise Ship Centers Ottawa contacted me, and they had been looking to be able to create a wellness cruise, and they just didn't know how to kind of package it together. And so they kind of hired me on to find the experts and to create a wellness idea, wellness cruise. And so I have brought on 6 amazing experts, Tusca Reno being one of them. She's like a 14 times New York Times bestselling author. She's the Eat Clean Diet Revolution, like Oxygen Magazine. Her husband was Flex Magazine. So she's one of my experts. I've got like a foodie. I've got 2 trainers. I've got a beauty specialist. I've got a life transformation coach. And we're leaving from Budapest. So it's along the Danube. So like Budapest and Vienna are on the trip. I've got food brands that are on board for health foods to be able to try and snack on as we're going on the excursions. And it's still the ability, and there's still booze. Everything's all included. It's kind of like it's a cruise, and you can opt for the wellness side, or you can opt for just enjoying what that area has to offer. And we're probably going to have some golf in there too. So that's one of the big projects that I'm working on right now. October 20th, signaturecruises.ca. If you're looking for more information, or find me on all of my platforms.
Okay, and I put that information in the show notes of this episode. Where can we find you if we want to connect with you, Leanne?
The best place probably would be my website, so www.leannelang.com. Hopefully you have my name somewhere in there, because it's not spelled the way people would. And then it's that name. It's Leanne Lang on Twitter and on LinkedIn and on Instagram. Oh, and on YouTube.
Thanks for listening to the Sound Off Podcast. Find us online at soundoffpodcast.com and connect with us wherever great social media is housed. The show is imaged using the sounds from Core Image Studios.
Written and hosted by Matt Kundle.
A production of the Sound Off Media Company.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.
You looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.